listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Alex Jones Live, second hour of Sunday Night Live here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Make sure you're following us on X at AJN Live. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL to share to your friends and family. AlexJonesLive.com. I saw somebody on X yesterday saying, I miss the days when InfoWars, I should say, when Alex Jones was advertised on, you know, a piece of plywood sticking out of somebody's backyard just saying, tune in to 90.1 or whatever it is, which is exactly what I always talk about. I mean, that's what, you know, once again reinforced for me how important and how influential and how unique this organization is, InfoWars will continue to be when you see people standing outside on their lunch break holding signs or something like that. That's the type of action we need now, because just like Alex was saying during his show, and I've said before, I mean, I remember back in 2018, one of my neighbors saying, you know, I used to listen to Alex all the time and such a bummer y'all got, you know, taken out. And I said, well, you know, we're still on this other website. We're just not on YouTube. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I watch things on YouTube. So you don't exist to me anymore, basically. I mean, you're still supportive and whatever. But, you know, some people, if they have their media habits and if something is no longer available, it just sort of out of sight, out of mind. So let's not let that happen to the Alex Jones Network. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Do whatever you need to get the word out there. We probably need is stickers, because that's always the fun thing, is when you see the InfoWars sticker in the wild and you know that there are patriots about. But the merchandise as well, right? You can always wear a Alex Jones or old InfoWars shirt around and strike up conversations and, you know, make sure everybody knows where to go. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Because our enemies are publishing things like this. Alex Jones is finally off the air for now. Wrong. Wrong. Very wrong. Ellie Quinlan Hao Tae-ling. Alex Jones's final meltdown on InfoWars was a defiant rejection of the company's new ownership. Okay, sure. So I'm telling you, this is just like what they, what they're telling everybody. They came out, you know, The Onion came out with their parody of us, apparently. To be honest, I could not make it more than like 2 minutes. It is utterly unwatchable. It's not interesting. It's not funny. And I don't know anybody saying that it is. In fact, I mean, if you go through the comments on the YouTube video, like 90% of the comments are just like, gee, it sounds like it hurts your voice, Tim. Hey, Tim, that's a really painful voice you're doing there. It's like, that's not what you want people coming away from your thing that you spent millions and millions of dollars to do. People just being like, wow, this is uncomfortable to watch, Tim. This kind of hurts to watch. We have empathy with you, and it seems like this is going to be a painful 6 months for you. Humiliation ritual continuously. I'm wondering whether I should talk about that or just save it for tomorrow. Because they did mention me, but they didn't say my name. They refused to say my name, which is a pattern I've noticed. They always refuse to say my name. Remember the ADL published my tweet, but blocked out my name? Why would they do that? Why won't they say my name, I wonder? And I'm halfway tempted just to give them advice, because they're failing. Like, they have failed. They are failing. And it's like, I keep seeing this stuff, and it's true. I mean, you know, we'll just add Onion to the pile of trash. It's already way too high as it is. Just four examples here. The trash pile ever grows. Brain fight with Tuck Buckford. You've got the Onion parody of the InfoWars. You've got the opposition with Jordan Klepper. That was a whole damn show they tried to do to parody us. And you've got the Howard Stern recurring, Alex Jones puppet parody. And that doesn't even include the Homeland series and the, you know, caricatures of the Alex Jones-like character, you know, from everywhere else. This is just the direct, like, purposeful parodies, you know, pointed right at us. And they're all terrible. None of them have any idea how to do it. And I see people online going, well, it's just because Alex is unparodyable. He's he's too self-aware. He's too sort of, you know, over the top and rambunctious. Ivan saw Reese tweeted something out about this. Your good old Uncle Reese was saying that it's just not possible to, I think it is. I think I could do a great, and I don't even want to give him advice here, but I will, 'cause it's just, I'm just that nice of a guy and they're just not talented and it like hurts to watch them. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing to watch them try to be funny and they just can't. I'll tell you what it is. In fact, I think Reese is back there. Reese, can you bring up your tweet? Can we bring up Reese's tweet where he talks about this? So I was going to leave it as a comment, but I thought I'd say it here. Because I'm like, do I tell them what the secret is to parodying Alex? Because I do know it. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else can figure it out, but it's not that hard. I don't know if I want to give it to him, though. I don't know if I want to tell him how to do it, but I will. From Crazy Unc Reese on X, you cannot actually parody Alex Jones. He is one of those rare specimens that is exempt from its clutches, truly. He's so divinely, uniquely, and outlandishly bombastic in his delivery that any attempt to eclipse it through mockery will inevitably ring hollow and try hard. Now, I think he's right. But I think I could do it. And I'll tell you how I could do it. I'm just going to tell you, all right? If you're with the Onion, you have to turn this off now, all right? You're not allowed to steal my ID, even though you steal everything else. I don't think I should. I don't think I should tell him how to do it. Maybe I will tomorrow. Maybe I'll get into it more tomorrow and actually address what they said. They're kind of nice to me. He wants to hire me. The Onion wants to hire me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me lending my genius to them? Never going to happen. It's also funny. He's like, he's a young man. He's just starting out. Son, I'm a 36-year-old father of three. Okay. I look young because I'm young in spirit. Because I take the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. That's what makes me youthful and vivacious. All right? I know it's complicated. It's hard for you to understand because you are the has-been that never was. I'll do it tomorrow. We'll get into it fully tomorrow. I don't want to waste the little time we have here on them. And maybe tomorrow I'll give you the secret of parodying Alex Jones. Okay? It's so simple, but so genius. Maybe I'll just do it. Maybe I will just parody Alex Jones better than they can. Wouldn't that be something? Because I could make it funny. Because I understand it. Because I understand what it would take. We got to move on or I'm going to tell them. I'm going to give them the secret. And then they might actually be successful. The only way they could possibly be successful is if they have me to think for them. And I refuse to do it. I'm going to let them struggle and die all on their own, metaphorically and in ratings, I mean. But no, we have actual serious stuff to talk about here. One of them is, of course, another, I'm sorry to say it, but we did tell you so. We did tell you this was the case. And in fact, I told you this on October 9th, 2023. Because on October 9th, 2023, it was the first show of the Alex Jones Show after October 7th and the big terror attack, and Chase Geiser and I sat there and sort of played out in a thought experiment what a full-scale attack on Gaza would eventually lead to. And on October 9th, the calculus was already there. This is going to extend to include a direct confrontation between Israel and Iran. Israel cannot handle Iran without American boots on the ground. Therefore, they need American boots on the ground. But if they attack Iran and Iran responds to America, all of the American bases are sitting ducks. I remember saying that, you can go watch it yourself. Well, if you had the foresight to back up those episodes, which many of them can still be found on Rumble, then you can go back and see. Like, we said this exact thing, and we'll go now to clip number 7 here, because this confirms what we told you on October 9th, 2023, would be the case if Iran ever went to war with America. American bases would be hit, and they'd be hit hard, and they did not have the ability to defend themselves against the weapons that would be hitting them. And then after the first week of attacks when everybody was saying, no, we're fine. Nothing's happened. No American bases have been destroyed. That's all crazy conspiracy theory stuff. But no, it's been admitted. We were right, as we always are. Let's go to clip number 7 now.
Yes, of course.
Clip number seven should be a CNN confirms Iran brilliantly targeted and destroyed a U.S. Boeing E-3 Century system worth $500 million. Here it is.
Told us that they'd never seen anything like this at American bases, that these were rapid, targeted strikes using advanced technology. Iran's main targets? Multi-million-dollar aircraft, like this Boeing E-3 Century, which gave the U.S. a huge amount of visibility over the Gulf. It's out of production, and in today's money, it's worth nearly $500 million. Critical communications equipment. Look at these giant golf balls. They're known as radomes, and they protect satellite dishes vital for data transmission. In this base alone, Iran destroyed all but one of the radomes less than a month into the war. And crucially, radar systems. Highly sophisticated, expensive, difficult to replace, and critical to air defense. A second U.S. source, this one a congressional aide familiar with damage assessments, described these as the most cost-effective of the targets. Our radar systems, they said, are our most expensive and our most limited resource in the region.
And of course, they did that with, like, you know, drones worth a couple $1,000. So, like, just obviously, we've lost the Iran war. I think it's time to pack it in and just admit that we lost the Iran war, because every day this goes on, the worse and more catastrophic the effects will be. And they're already going to be astronomical, practically unimaginable. Fertilizer exports through Hormuz slow to a trickle. And just look at this fall off here. 20-year urea-laden strips. 20 urea-laden ships remain in the Gulf. But you can see that it just falls off a cliff and obviously is not, you know, regained at all any. And on top of that, you have all of these various refineries and fertilizer plants going up in smoke in Kuwait and China and Mexico and India, Australia, Iraq, Romania, India, USA, Russia, and Pakistan. Multiple refineries and industrial sites hit by fires, explosions, and attacks. Impacts, fatalities, outages, and supply disruptions all in the month of April. Between April 2nd and April 22nd, there were like 12 major refineries attacked and destroyed. Which, again, I don't think that's a coincidence at all. And this is the type of thing where you can go back and look at, you know, how often do these things happen? Are we just noticing them more? Or do they always happen? This does not always happen. This is a unique event that really only ever happened in history another time, which was during the run-up to the COVID lockdown. So, again, I'm very concerned what this is going to bring about. Nobody's telling you how F the farmers are. Again, we've read this earlier, and I guess this is the original guy that posted it. I was confused because that far leftist guy had posted it, and I was like, why do I have this? And apparently it was posted. Apparently the left stole something they didn't make and took it for themselves. Incredible. But yeah, what it says is the agricultural secretary just confirmed this publicly, how screwed the farmers are. One in four American farmers has no fertilizer for spring planting, no crops, no food. If you have no fertilizer, farm bankruptcies were up 46% in 2025. 160,000 farms have closed since 2017. Now, whether they closed or were consumed by a, you know, major multinational industrial titan, sort of tomato tomato, sort of either way, what you're left with is closed down and bankrupted farms. Airlines can cancel flights in advance over fuel shortages in new plan. And of course, Delta Airlines now wants like $1 billion payout, a bailout for $2.5 billion for Delta Airlines, even as they mysteriously cancel hundreds of flights nationwide, citing crew restrictions. See, the important thing to understand about this is the way the media covers something that is a gigantic deal that you should be freaking out about that they don't want you freaking out about. That's what we're seeing here. We've got stories from, you know, major MSM outlets all over the place, and every one, like the headline should be like, red sirens as imminent starvation, you know, crisis because of fertilizer shortage. But it's just like, you know, just sort of calmly say, you know, there's a Forbes headline that was just like, it looks like farmers are saying that they don't have fertilizer and aren't going to have food next year. So we should look into that. But the experts are on it. It's just like, no, this is a very big deal. This is very crazy. And we should do something about this. Like, again, once again, I feel like we're kind of in like the COVID era. Do you remember first couple months of COVID before the mainstream media had told anybody about it? And only people like InfoWars were going, hey, there's this thing happening in China that we should be paying attention to. And what did they say? Nancy Pelosi goes out and goes, go hug your Chinese neighbor. Go to your Chinese neighborhood. Don't let the racism of the Trump administration stop you from loving your Chinese friends and family. And we're just like, no, there's a disease in China that we want to keep there and not let come over here. Stop calling us racist, you idiots. And they called us racist until the virus got here. And then they told us that there was nothing they could do about it. Aren't you getting a little bit of deja vu? Isn't this a little bit familiar? Where, like, yeah, the media was going, there's something going on in China. There's a mysterious thing happening, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. And we're the ones going, no, this is a big deal, and we should be sounding the alarm about this. The media has a skill, has a couple different skills that are sort of parallel mirror images of one another. They can create and manufacture crisis out of nothing. They can convince everybody that America is racist and sexist and homophobic, even though we're the least of any of those things. But they can also hold off panic where it should flourish, right? We should be very angry about this, especially because the thing that's causing it is a choice being made by our government. That's the real issue, is that we're going to have a food crisis because of the Iran war. And the people who should be telling us this in order to inspire the political will to stop the Iran war are downplaying the effects that this is going to have because they want it to continue. So just here we are again, once again, just like COVID, trying to tell you about what's coming. Most people probably ignore us completely, only to, you know, turn around and tell us the same thing we've been saying forever and act like we're all just figuring this out at the same time. Again, I don't know how we get around this. I don't know how we like stop this cycle, but it really is infuriating. I used to tell the story a lot more, but like one of the craziest times of all of COVID to me, two times, very early on, like I think it was like the first thing that I did where I remember like people wearing masks was with my wife's family. And we got in a little bit of an argument because I was trying to explain that masks don't stop the virus. Using the metaphor of a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. It's too big. The virus is too small. It goes in anyway. You're a conspiracy theorist. That's not true. The experts say blah, blah, blah. And I said, all right, you know, wear your mask if you want. That's fine. And then like 3 years later, same people go, you know, the masks don't actually stop the virus. And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, we just heard on CNN they have to be N5 or above or else the mesh is too wide, the virus gets in anyway. And so I just have to, like, always just be like, oh, really? So CNN said that, did they? Fascinating. Interesting. And I don't know, you know, it's my family, so I'm not going to, like, but, you know, part of me is kind of like, do you not remember the conversation we had 2 years ago? I remember it very distinctly. And I remember telling you this exact thing. Why does it take 2 years and CNN for it to get through? I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you. All I know is that we'll sit here and tell you the truth, get called names, and then 2 years later, everybody knows the truth and everybody forgot that we told them in the first place. Sort of annoying. Kind of very annoying, actually. That's just the way it goes. So, like, here we are again. Here we are again. So you can just clip this out. You can bookmark this just in, you know, a year. If we even make it that far when the rationing hits, we'll just be here saying we told you so again. So infuriating. But obviously, I mean, I really do think that's just, you know, the point of all of this. I don't think anything about the nuclear dust or anything is even real. at this point. I think it's all just an excuse to keep the strait closed, to keep the fertilizer locked in. I mean, how many different ways are there to have avoided this oncoming catastrophe and total disaster? We could have not gone to war with Iran, obviously. We could have foreseen that they were going to close the Strait of Hormuz and changed our military strategy to guarantee that that never happened, if that's even possible. We could have harvested our own fertilizer, the urea, the nitrogen-rich material that is required for fertilizer. See, China makes their own out of coal. We could do that, but the climate change agenda told us not to. And again, like once again, is this a coincidence? Do you think this is a coincidence, folks, that for the last 10 years, there's been repeated efforts to shut down farming in places like the Netherlands, the number two exporter of food in the world, over things like nitrogen in the soil or methane that cows release, and that then the war in Iran just happens to correspond directly and exactly with their already pre-established agenda, or the C40 systems, the C40 agenda adopted by cities, that their intention was to use government to stop you from flying in planes or owning your own car or buying, you know, disposable material. Do you think it's a coincidence or an accident that that's exactly what's going on now with the shutdown of the jet fuel through the Strait of Hormuz? It's like, how many things have to align perfectly for people to realize that it's not an accident and it's not a coincidence? And that's because the same people orchestrating it through the government are the same ones orchestrating it through the war. And it's just like whatever method is most convenient, it doesn't matter to them. Again, I feel like I'm just beating my head on a rock over and over again, like Sisyphus, just trying desperately to get somewhere. But I don't know, until enough people recognize this and stand up against it and we do what's necessary to get out of this war in Iran, we're headed towards the cliff. We're just on the train tracks. The trains go off the cliff. There's no bridge there. And we're just sitting here going, there is no bridge. You have to stop the train. We have to stop this. Why are we still going? And everybody else is just shoveling coal into the engine, pursuing their demise at full speed. It's absolutely mad, but they get away with it because the media's in on it and they hide the truth from the people. So you got to break through, and the only way to break through is with the truth.
I have been